confidence, heart, and desire are all attributes athletes need to reach their potential. And at Draco Impact Sports, we want to help you achieve that potential. Draco offers you the highest quality training and protective gear suited for all level of athletes. We pride ourselves on the durability and comfort of our products, and once you try them on, you'll know exactly what everybody's talking about. When it matters the most, both in and out of the ring, you can always count on Draco. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Draco Sports for product information and contest giveaways. Or visit us online at www.dracosports.com. Draco Impact Sports. Dominate your world. MMAMadhouse.com would like to thank their sponsors, Clench Custom Mouthguards, Brawl Base, Pro-Am Belts, Game Changer Clothing, Draco Impact Armor, Hype Fight Store, Intimidation Clothing, Ink Tank Tattoo, 24 in LV, Crossroader Clothing, Central Oregon Trike, Triumph Fitness, Vision Smoke Shop, Tank Crimes, Big T's Nightclub, and Jax Media. Always supporting local MMA, you're listening to MMAMadhouse.com live.
Welcome to MMA Madhouse Live, number 171. Tonight is going to be a great, great show. We have a phenom up and coming. We're going to expose some fans around the world, too. But before we do all that, let's grab my partner and crap. What? Well, let's get him in here because he's already talking. Select.
Check out this selection right here. Where you from?
Critically acclaimed, lyrically acclaimed, self-proclaimed. Nobody calls you nothing except for your mother after she burnt your monkey ass.
What's up, Lapaki?
See, I don't know, man. That's just crazy talk, man. It sounded so strange, and you're like, we're going to expose him. I was just like, that didn't sound right.
To all the fans who have never met this guy or know anything about this phenom who won his title fight with an 8-second KO, well, what do you think of that shit, brother?
Well, dude, I think it's pretty badass, but I'm a little disappointed that we all forgot to submit it to the Dirty Dozen.
Dude, did you see me today? I admitted that I couldn't believe when they asked me for my entries that and we knew he was coming on the show to talk about this over 10 days ago. And I dropped the ball. I can admit I dropped the ball, but I was like, I'll get him in the next one. But there's not another one until next year. Because
okay.
I'll still enter him. Oh, yes. But next week is the top 100 knockout submissions and finishes of the year. So,
yeah, that's why we need to get it on there right now. I'm putting it up on the MMA Inside the Cage page.
I put it up today and tagged them in it and told them they should take a look at it. If nothing else, we should be able to get them in at least the top 100. That's a beautiful finish in a title fight. Shit. Hey, big shout out to all my great sponsors who are always showing us mad love, man. You guys, on MMAMadhouse.com, if you haven't been there recently, it's a brand new website. Store's open now. You guys should go check it out. Buy some cool gear from us and our sponsors. If things work out the way they're trying to, we're in talks with somebody today, but we might even become a ticket distributor through the website now, through the store. We're in talks with the company right now back east on that, so we'll know more in the next couple of days. I'm super pumped. But on there, you'll be able to find all our kick-ass sponsors, Draco, Impact Sports, Jax Media, Hype Fight Store, Intimidation Clothing, all those guys, 888 Poker, Big Tees, Pro-Am Belt, Clinch Custom Mouth Guards, Central Oregon Tech, everything's hyperlinked. Just click on the logo or the photo of their logo, actually, and it'll take you there. You can find us for Twitter, Facebook, all the voting links for all the website of the year awards we're up for and Reporter of the Year. So you guys go check it out, look around. In our featured section, you're going to love it, man. We got all the live from Bangkok. We got all the cubicles to the cage. We've got all the inside the cage. We've got all the Go Fight Live in one spot for you fans, man. That's what I'm talking about. And I'd say go look up Lepaki on the staff, but it's going to be kind of dusty up in there lately.
Yep. I put the pen down.
Hey, understandable. It's the progression of the beast in you, man. First off, anybody doesn't know, the finalized card for Bama 14 came out today. It's up on Madhouse. I tell you what.
The latest XFC fight card changes are up on Madhouse.
Yes, they are. What do you think about Daly taking on Romero Silva? Do you like that fight, or do you think that Simtex is a little too much for him?
I don't know, man. Simtex was coming off a loss. He lost
true.
On that card over in Russia. I think it was a decision, unanimous decision.
Yes. So, good point. Good point.
I would typically say that maybe in London I would lean towards Daly. But yeah, I think I'm going to take Daly. Second round TKO. Booyah.
See, I was thinking he was going to get the TKO. I figured later. I was thinking third round, but I agree with you on that. I think it's a good fight for the fans to really pay attention to. Though, and I'll openly say this, I do not believe this should have been the headlining fight, not with the co-main being what that match is and what it's for. I believe Colin Freak Show Fletcher versus Manasaur should have been made the main event. It's for the lightweight title. Let's be honest. That's a more important fight, I think.
Dude, it's the Freak Show, man. You should always get...
I knew you would say that shit.
main event motherfucking status, man. Oh, shit. Did you see the fight change at 1FC where Burns is now facing Edward Kelly?
Maybe. I read something today, but I'm not going to lie. I don't remember.
God, what the hell did you just do, man?
What do you mean?
You just pressed some button right in my fucking ear.
Huh?
You didn't just hear that?
No. What are you on, brother? Give me two of it.
Dude, not the right shit, man. I've been fucking driving all over the valley here for the last hour and 45 fucking minutes.
Oh, banker rich problems.
Oh, that's true. Dude, I'm just telling you right now, man. Tyler Manoaroa is going to win the Tough Nations. I don't give a shit. If anybody disagrees, call in. We can talk about it. The fight, I think the finals of that show will be Elias Theodoru from Canada versus Tyler Manoaroa out of New Zealand / Australia.
Ooh.
I like seeing Luke Hayabusa Harris on here.
There is a what we're talking about overseas. Do you really do? What do you think about that Baroni Askren kind of? Do you think Baroni's just 5 years too late?
I think. Okay, man, I'm just gonna say this to people. If you don't think Ben Askren is going to walk through these motherfuckers in 1FC or World Series of Fighting, you're crazy. This dude belongs in the UFC. I don't give a shit if you think he's boring or whatever. You know, far too often, a guy that is sloppy, but somehow gets beat up, people find entertaining, and think that that kind of a person belongs in the UFC or any organization, but yet a guy that wins, is undefeated, was a fucking world champion, an Olympian, oh, he's boring because he takes somebody down and then punches their fucking face in. Maybe everybody should go and watch Ben Askren versus Carl Emuzu and Ben Askren versus Koreshkov and fucking remember what this guy is capable of, man. I mean, he fucking put a beating on Carl Emuzu that was ridiculous, bro.
Dude, look, I 100%, and you know, I am not the biggest Askren fan. I respect him for what he's accomplished in the sport, okay? But I agree. Look, I said this, I got in a pissing match earlier over this, when at first everyone started first talking about he signed, you know, and I said, look, I don't think it's the best fit because I think that there's not enough solid-based wrestlers who have great striking, who can stop his takedown and beat him standing where he's going right now. I think it's a step back for him personally, you know. And it's no disrespect to the talent level there, but you're not talking wrestling-based MMA over there at all, you know. And I think you're right. I think he needs to be put, as much as I'm not a fan of Zuffa either, that's where he belongs. He needs to fight guys at his level of wrestling base, you know, with striking ability, I think, you know, personally.
Oh, no, I'm right there, dude. I mean, there's nobody that can stop what he does. I mean, I don't give a shit.
I agree.
I mean, dude, I have been the biggest anti-Ben Askren guy, but it's like, man, I can't even deny the fact that the guy belongs in the UFC. Nobody can.
Well, I would have loved to have been a fucking fly on the wall to hear exactly what they thought was going down in that meeting that went so wrong.
Yeah, that's a good question.
Because, look, I'm sorry. We know Dana White's about a fucking dollar bill. He really is. That's all he cares about. And if Askren comes in there with the right kind of deal that makes Dana feel like he wins financially, the company wins financially, and Askren gets his shot, he's not going to say no to it. We've seen him sign crap fighters who have less of a record than Ben and less of a pedigree who make one fight appearance because they're some badass local and they disappear and we never see them again, you know? So I want to know what was said there for them to shut the door. And if he stood up and, like, got all who's cocked bigger mentality with Dana and the Partitas and Silva and them, then he's stupid and he cost himself his shot. But if he was, you know, agreeable to almost anything just to get his shot and they shut the door, I want to know why. I wish somebody had a video leak, fucking something. Somebody could tell us what went down in that meeting. Because let's be honest, it went one way or the other. Either Ben came in and he was so agreeable that Dana was like, I don't even want you still because you're a joke and you're a sideshow. Or he came in there and going, I'm the best and I'm going to rape all your people and beat everybody down and stalk and slap everybody up and down, whatever. And Dana's like, you can't come to me this aggressive and tell me what you're going to do to my fighters. Have a nice day. Something happened there. And I want to know.
What do you think about this? What do you think about this? What happens if Ben Askren comes in and walks through the UFC division? What does that say about the talent? But listen, hold on. What does that say about the level of talent at Bellator? See, I've always thought all along that Bjorn actually released Ben in hopes that he would go to the UFC and do what he did to Bellator fighters in the UFC. Then he can sit there and say, hey, you know, how can you say that your level of talent is so much better than mine when my guy just walked over there and walked through your whole fucking division?
I agree. I think that's something that's totally possible.
I mean, this goes way, way, like, deeper than Ben Askren. I mean, dude, there's been – you know how many fights at welterweight have happened in 1FC in their last five events? Five events, dude.
No.
Two.
Five?
Two welterweight fights. Two welterweight fights. In the last five events. So what? Who is he going to fight? Phil Baroni? That's the only guy they've got there.
Well, and that's why I think he's three.
They've had three welterweight fights in their last six events. Adam Kayun versus Zuli Silawanto. Yeah, neither of these two fucking guys, and no offense to either of them, but Ben Askren's going to wipe the fucking floor with their blood.
Well, yeah, that's my whole point is he has to face competition that comes from a wrestling base like he did, and you're not going to get that in Asia today. Maybe in 10 years, but not today. And once again, this is no disrespect. Look. I think there are some super talented guys over there who can come to the UFC in different weight classes and hold their own and be a top five or even a champion. But in no way, shape, or form am I going to say that 85 or 90% of those guys that all stand a chance against the straight-up wrestler who's just going to take them down and ground molest them.
Dude, check it out. At 1FC 5, they had two welterweight fights.
Okay, so let's say, and I said it before, I think if this was Ben Phil Baroni 5-7 years ago versus Ben Askren today, it's a whole other story. But, yeah, he beats him, and he probably beats him in a nasty decision and bloodies him up pretty good and hurts him pretty well. And like he said in that tweet, watches him cry to his girlfriend or whatever, you know, which was fucking funny, honestly. But he beats him. He grabs the title in his next fight automatically because at that point he's beaten their most seasoned vet. He gets a title shot. He takes the title in an easy victory. Then what? Okay, you brought viewers for two events. Now he's got to defend it. Who are you going to defend it against? Is 1FC going to start importing fighters from America at a higher rate? Are they going to start going after Bellator fighters and World Series of Fighters and UFC fighters for contracts? That's a whole other story, but that's a year out still.
Yeah, I think it's crazy, dude. This is just – I didn't even realize it was that few. I knew they didn't have a lot of welterweight fights, but, dude, to only have in eight events, you have five welterweight fights, and then you sign a guy that is – and I'll even concede a little bit, and I'll just say that Askren is top 10 welterweight fighter in the world. I'll even back off where me personally, he's number 5 in the world. But I'll say he's a top 10er just to appease some of these clowns. Dude, there's nothing there.
I
don't know what's going on.
Look, I agree 100%.
Do you think
Askren
looks at Jeff Monson and says, dude, yes, I want to travel the world, nail chicks, and just be like a traveling gypsy? I mean, he kind of comes across like that. He's like, I'm just going to go to, Singapore and hang out for a while. What a better place, dude. It's not like he has to worry about anything really over there. He's going to probably mess up most of them guys.
Now, see, this... Now, we're talking, folks, we're going to talk other shit, too, but this is kind of, for us, this is fun to talk about this. You got Askren going over there. Do you think there's anybody in the welterweight class over there that could beat Josh Koscheck or beat a Martin Campman or Matt Brown or Johnny Hendricks or Rick Story or even a Mike Pyle or a Jake Ellenberger, Robbie Lawler.
Dude, no.
These are the kind of guys that Ben Askren has to face to show he's as good as we don't want to admit some folks like myself. But That's who he goes in there and he fights, you know, somebody like a Josh Koscheck who's, look, take away his last fight with Woodley. Let's get that out of the picture, folks. We understand that it got ended pretty quick. Okay, fine. But his previous 8-10 fights, he's a grinder, he's a fighter, and he can hang with Askren on the ground in a fight. I'm not saying he can be better, but he can hang. And that's the difference.
He's one of the few guys to earn two title shots against GSP. I think it might be the only guy.
Dude, could you imagine if Rick Story faced Ben Askren? Rick Story's got ridiculous.
Dude, that's a fun fight. See?
Yes.
That's a fun fight for me. Mike Pierce, Ben Askren. Rick Story, Ben Askren. Jake Ellenberger, Ben Askren. Dong-Hyun Kim, Ben Askren. Eric Silva, Ben Askren. I mean, that's where he needs to be.
It is.
That's the place. Not over here with Zuli Suliwara and fucking, what's this other guy's name? Hold on. Rodrigo Ribeiro, who Baroni knocked out in a minute. Igor Gracie, maybe, I don't know. Jung Han Chua, but who the fuck is this guy? Go back to Korea. You're going to get your ass kicked too.
Hey, I am 100% agreeing. I mean, look, let's be honest. If you were to put Tyrone Woodley for Ben Askren's debut, that would be a legitimate fight in the UFC. You could sell the fans, and that would be a legitimate test for him on his door in.
Dude, and that's a crazy fight because they both wrestled at University of Missouri.
Thanks.
So I'd be curious to see if they took the fight even. That could come down to one of those things where they're like, oh, we're teammates, but maybe not now. You know, I don't know. That's kind of interesting. But I like that fight too. Jake Shields, Ben Askren. You know, I mean, I think World Series of Fighting would have been a better landing destination for him because at least there he can go beat up Paul Harris and then Fitch and then Berkman. And then I really do think, and I could be wrong, but Steve Carl, I think the two best guys outside of the UFC that have a chance to beat Ben Askren are Steve Carl and Josh Berkman.
I agree. I agree with the Steve Carl. Big shout
out. I might need to go and double check the roster at EFC Africa.
What do you think? You know,
I'm trying to think. 170 champ at EFC isn't that oh shit.
What do you think about Hector versus Askren?
Hector Lombard? Sure.
You think he's got what it takes to go the distance with him?
Yeah, see, I mean, he's a super explosive guy. He's got heavy hands, and he knows how to wrestle. And he's wasn't he an Olympic judo guy?
Yeah, and I mean, you know, he's got a decent. What's he like? 500 in the UFC, right around there. So I mean, you know, that's another good entry fight. But I mean, and we're talking lower, you know, lower end of the rankings, folks, right now of just getting him in the door. You know, put him in there against. Let's do Chris Gregory's boy, Zach Cummings. He's always telling Zach Cummings. Put him in there against Askren, you know?
Yeah, dude, there's a lot of guys. I mean,
I agree. I just think that if ONEFC doesn't announce in the next 90 days that they've acquired 6 or 7 top UFC caliber fighters from outside the United States and Northern America, really, and maybe even in Europe, this is a great bump, but it's only temporary. It's only going to help them short term. In the long run, it's not going to be a smart decision.
No, and I also really think it's strange that Shinya Aoki turned down the UFC.
I don't. I do not at all.
I know he didn't have, like, really stellar success when he came over here. But
I heard the money that he was offered, plus the fact that he's allowed to do his own events and stay home and have his gym and everything all entailed there, especially with the two young products that he has really dedicated a lot of his time and efforts to helping develop. I think for him, he made the smarter, wiser move because dollar for dollar, I hear it was almost identical. But he doesn't have to travel as far, and at home he's a superstar. The endorsement deals he's getting, they say, are going to clear $30 million.
Yeah, well, I mean, I know that dude, that, you know, he's getting hella coin over there. But I would just like to see him at featherweight in the UFC. I mean, this is, I want to start a movement. My goal, my New Year's solution, I want to transform the mixed martial arts world from multi-fight deals to one-fight contracts.
Thank you. Thank you. I support that. And anybody else out there
I want us to start a movement where these guys are signing one-fight contracts, because then we can really see great fights, man, happen everywhere. And if John Prisco at XFC wants Ben Askren and Jake Shields to be his main event, and he has the coin to do so, and they both agree to take the fight, why couldn't they do that? This whole, oh, you're locked into this organization hogwash is really getting old and crusty in my book.
I 100% agree. And real quick, I want to give two shout-outs to two beautiful young ladies out there in the world. Miss Sherry, it's a pleasure to have you join us tonight, and Miss Helen. I want to give you a big shout-out for all the love lately you've been showing Madhouse. And, folks, do not forget, this weekend coming up, XFE 31. I believe tonight is their boxing event, if I'm not mistaken. I could be retarded. But, no, Broadway Boxing is tonight. So
oh, yeah,
I'm wrong.
Broadway Boxing
yeah,
tonight
Broadway
at
boxing.
BB King's. At BB
yeah.
King's. And I think Timmy's there.
Yes, and Extreme Fight Event. Back at Harrah's in Pennsylvania. You guys don't want to miss it. December 7th, XFE 31 goes down. Guys, this has got a really, really good card, and there is going to be a great, great fight. Mike Hope, I believe was his name, he's making his pro debut, and he's somebody a lot of people have been talking about. You guys really want to see what this guy's all about. So go check him out. I had to give that shout out real quick. Let's
that was,
see.
You did
oh.
good there, buddy. I'm proud of you. You did good on that one.
Hey, and I'd like to give a shout out also to my boys, Oplot. Don't forget, Oplot Amateurs, Friday, 2 p.m. Eastern. Oplot Challenge, 91, the pros, 2 p.m. on Saturday. We also got KSW 25, Michael 300 Hayes on that card, folks. And I believe so is Horwich. I'm not 100%, but I know he was getting ready to take another fight there, and I believe it was this card. Otherwise, it's 26. But either way, Cage Warrior 62, Jungle Fight 62, and Vitka 7, Smash Fight 3, World Series of Fighting 7, Legacy Fighting 26. What am I missing? Oh, Nitrix, Sunday. What else? That's some good events throwing down this weekend. Oh, Battle of Moscow, Sokuju, headlining, Battle of Moscow, Saturday, 1:30. Yeah. Don't miss that. I love watching him go to Russia and fight. It's great. He comes in all taped up like a monster. It's great.
Yeah. We spend far too much. We might need to try and get a trip to Russia somehow.
What's
up with Sang Flawless, man? What happened to our guy there?
I don't know, dude. He's been posting a ton of pictures from the gym lately about his different fight team guys. I've talked to him once or twice on Skype, but you know it's like midnight our time is like 7 in the morning. You know, I usually hit him up. He's having breakfast with his wife and shit, so I make it short. But speaking of Singh, don't forget 599 Fights coming out of Cali. Oh, good event, folks.
That is a good
I'm
event.
Missing, I know I'm missing something else. Oh,
dude, you always are dropping the ball, dude. There's a ton of action going on. Mannheimer, Kloppen, Kylery. In Germany.
Is that the one in Berlin?
No, Mannheim.
Oh.
USFFC.
Hey, we'll be bringing live results from that. Also,
Fight to Win. Legacy. Pancrase, Fight Night, UCMMA, Cage Warrior 62, KSW, Conflict MMA, AFL.
Hey, we'll be at KO Boxing in Edmonton, Canada this weekend, as well as Battlefield Fight League and World Series of Fighting 7. You can find Madhouse ringside, cage side at all those events, bringing you live results.
You can find us at Cage Sport. You can find us at Cage Sport too, but not Cage Side. Look, hey, go to the very back of the room, and then find the door and keep going.
That's funny shit there.
The sad thing is that everybody probably thinks I'm joking, but if from Clench is on here, he'd tell you what's up. I had to go buy some new Wind River binoculars, man. Fuck, I had to invest in some fucking Leopolds, bro. That shit wasn't good at all.
You will find us ringside everywhere but there.
Hey,
but
you will also find us ringside at, I'm going to have to talk to Brian Hallquist about this shit, but, and he needs to stop doing this to me, but Invicta 7, we will be at that event as well.
That's right. We're sending the ton of fun, Chris Gregory, down. He's going to be rocking.
Utter Butter himself will be there.
Dude, I'm trying.
I want somebody to keep track of how many times this weekend in Kansas City, Chris Gregory says, I predicted Ben Askren was going to 1FC.
Dude, how much you want to bet he's like, hey, guys, hey, Rampage, hey, Crazy Horse, we're all going to drive up, we're going to blaze out like 40 blunts, we're going to stop and eat some fried chicken. But before we do, fool, I want to tell you something. I predicted Ben Askren weeks ago was going to sign with 1FC because I read it on a site and I just didn't tell anybody, but that's between us. Now pass the blunt.
Quit. Quit Bogarting that thing, man.
Yeah.
Is anybody going to Rumble? Is Devin covering Rumble at the Rosewind?
No. By the way, I want to talk. Great event, folks.
Are we going to talk about Devin? Are we going to talk about Devin or what?
Oh, no. Watch. Just listen. Rumble at the Rosewind, guys, has produced a lot of talented fighters who have had amazing careers. They have gone on to fight in the UFC and everything in between. But today, I lost just a little bit more respect for them. When I found out that they are having a 75th Royal at the Rumble at the Roseland, and a special guest will be Ryan Lucas Pope, who is their Hall of Fame inductee, with a 6-13 record and a 6-5 losing streak. And he lost to Rowan Graham and Eddie Bauer. I mean, come on now. This guy's your Hall of Fame. What, dude, if you guys have him listed next to Chris Lieben or, dude, I mean, the list goes on and on, folks. I've drawn a blank, but, I mean, 100 guys who fought in the biggest leagues in the world all fought there. And if you tell me that guy is Hall of Fame, your standards have dropped tremendously. Putting a 6, and I don't give a shit he's the first guy to fight on your fucking car.
Muy importante. Muy importante.
Sometimes the thoughts of Skippy Cohen are not always the thoughts of MMA Madhouse. Back to your rant.
I just disagree. You know, and right now you guys have me totally just flipping out over this. So I'm going to pull it up because I want to know, because I believe that there is a list. Okay, listen to this. This is just a short list of guys who have fought on their show. Chris Lieben, Nate Corey, Ed Herman, Josh Haynes, Chael Sonnen, and a lot of other guys, okay? Now, you have that list of guys who fought for your organization. If they're not, every one of them is not a Hall of Famer in the SCFF, then something that they're smoking is bad. And if they are, and they put this guy, a 6-13 fighter, in there with them, I disagree. I don't give a shit if he was the first fight ever, and he sold 8,000 tickets, and he went and just knocked the dude so hard, the guy flew in a double somersault over the cage and landed in the fifth row and popped a baby out of a pregnant woman. I don't care. You put a 6-13 fighter in your frame. You don't.
Keep going, man. I'm enjoying this.
Well, I'm done. I think everybody got my kind of visual there. If he didn't do that, he don't deserve it.
What if he's not going in as a fighter, but as in a different capacity?
Okay, if he went in, maybe because he did commentating for the first 30 shows, great. I would understand that. But do you really think that they have a distinguished, you know, that many departments in their Hall of Fame?
Well, I mean, I doubt it, but I'm just saying there is, you know, maybe he's going in as a coach. Maybe he's going in as a fighter coach. Maybe he's, I don't know, man. Forrest Griffin and Stephen Bonner are in the UFC Hall of Fame, so, I mean, I guess anything goes. Hell, dude, Tony Dungy's up for the NFL Hall of Fame. This guy, he's got a losing record in the playoffs.
Can I say that
one Super Bowl.
Well, once again, I you know, I know everybody preaches like he's the greatest thing since sliced bread, and I'll be honest. I think if you're going to talk better coaches, Lou Holtz is a better coach than Tony Dungy. I know it's
two different kinds of coaches.
So, yes, but as a whole, as what he did in his division, which was college versus his pro, I think the way he was able to manage a team, fight through, you know, ups and downs of the career that he had, impressive. I thought he was a great coach. But who cares about football right now? You know, I got my piece out. I you know, and it's not – look, I think that they put on some – you know, some good, you know, fights they have over the years. Have I said openly that in the last couple of years their events have become more and more local events, the Portland fighters? They're not going out and bringing fighters from, you know, north of Seattle and Canada and Idaho and Utah and Arizona. Can they really state that they're the best amateur show on the West Coast anymore? No. How about the Pac Northwest? No. You know,
I don't know about that. Let me think. Straight MMA, dude, they've been going for a long fucking time, man.
Hey, look, shit's good if you like it, bro. Doesn't matter. I can eat piles of shit every day if I like it. That doesn't mean that I got something better than you, okay? The question is, are they the best league? Not the longest running league, not a league with the longest lineage or the greatest fighters to... Are they today the number one West Coast amateur MMA league? Yes or no?
In Washington and Oregon?
Yeah.
I'm kind of leaning towards them. I'm gonna lean towards them. I haven't been able to go to any all amateur events in person in California, so I don't want to speak on that. I won't put it up against Tough or Ultimate Reno Combat because I don't think that's a fair comparison. I think they have maybe a larger bankroll they bring in. So, you know, they're a little bit higher level. Idaho, what's the all amateur? No. Yeah, I'm going to go with Rumble at the Roseland as the best amateur promotion in the Pacific Northwest.
Okay.
For strictly MMA.
I would
My favorite all amateur promotion in the Pacific Northwest.
Absolute Chaos.
Oh, actually, you know what? No. Actually, I'm going to take that back. I'm going to take that back. And I'm going to actually say that Cage Quest 3 was the best amateur event, all-amateur event I've ever been to. Thus, I'll give them the title.
Okay, I will agree.
But I have a feeling that Cage Quest 4 or 5 may not be an all-amateur show, so they won't be able to maintain that. So could be shortly in the next 3 or 4 months where Rumble at the Roseland takes it back. Actually,
okay.
You know, Eddie's had the best event, but I got to say 75 outweighs 3. I need Eddie to put on more than one event a year to give him the title. So I'm going to leave it in the hands of Rumble at the Roseland, FCFF. But I would rather go watch Absolute Chaos or Cage Quest.
First of all,
like, if I had all three events like in the same night, I would probably say Absolute Chaos or Cage Quest first, and then my last choice would be Rumble with Roseland. Even though I really like the venue there.
Shit.
I mean, it's a fun place to go watch fucking fights at, dude. The Roseland Theater, it's a blast.
Okay, two things. One, I got some sick news I'm about to break, but before we get there, folks.
Do I need to get ready? I'm getting ready. I got it ready. Just let me know when. When you say when, I'm hitting the button.
I want to complete what we were talking about, because this is going to be an interesting news that you're going to want to talk about, and I'm glad we got time. By the way, Miss Mercedes, I forgot to tell you, if you're listening at this point now, it is going to be 9:15 your time. I apologize, young lady. He is still on the show, and he is coming. Okay. Yes.
What do you mean 9:15?
She said it's 8:40 where she's at, and he was supposed to be on at 8:15. 9:15. Yes. Now listen.
This fucking Arizona, man.
And I just shut up. I want to quickly get to this. Shut up. Okay. I disagree on what your pick is. I think yes, for excitement and fun, single event Cage Quest is an amazing time, an amazing way to go watch it. But right now, I think Axe is doing a better job than SCFF, personally.
Axe?
The A-Town Throwdown?
No.
I know you might disagree, some of you fans out there, but that's my opinion. Now, hit the breaking fucking news.
Hold on, everybody.
Muy importante. Muy importante. Muy importante.
You ain't gonna hear this shit anywhere else but here, live on Madhouse. Phil Baroni has personally called Matt Lidlin and asked to come to Team Quest to train for a Ben Askren fight. Boom! Heard it here before anybody.
Muy importante. Muy importante. Muy importante.
What do you got that's so important?
That I was just wrapping up your segment.
Oh, thank you. I think that's badass to hear. And folks, trust me, that ain't going to be on no MMA crappy junk website tonight. And yes, I agree, folks. That is a great thing. And Jeff, what are you going off about? Oh, I see it now. Yes, I'm not on crack. That is my personal opinion. Look, I like the product. I think that they're bringing in fighters from closer than a 15-mile radius. And second of all, I've seen more than the same 4 gyms at every single fucking event. That's just my opinion.
Opinions are like assholes, buddy. Everybody's got one, and they all stink.
And not only that, let me clarify right now, there are 3 and all amateur leagues that are substantially better than anything the Pacific Northwest has produced in the last 5 years. Talking Ultimate Reno, Tough Enough in Las Vegas, and I'm a huge fan of what 599 Fife and Cali Wars have both been doing. Huge fan of what they've
been
doing.
How do you overlook NAAFS?
We're talking West Coast just this right now, like the West Coast region, you know.
I thought you said the whole country.
No. I said more than the Pacific Northwest. And I would also like to throw a World Combat in there with their state-run tournament that they've done now 2 years in a row. Dude, a much better competition going on down there. Their next event got 7,000 competitors at that same event for the MMA fights. 20,000 tickets in Seoul. Okay, that's how you go ball. Megatron, World Wrestling Classic, Gracie, World Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu Classic, American Boxing Association Amateur Tournament, MMA, kickboxing, fitness, powerlifting. What an event. That's how you throw it down. Big shout out to my boy, Gabe Scarpelli. Okay, what do you think the best way? I'm sick of this.
Oh, my God. Go read Mercedes' Facebook status.
Dude, I hope I'm not upsetting her because I'm not trying to, but, you know, I'm telling you right now, you need to, like, start posting some names or shut up.
Who?
Because he knows who. He's all sitting here criticizing me, thinking this shit's funny, but he don't want to drop no names. Oh, I'm so sorry, young lady. That is horrible. Jeff.
Folks, we've got a guest caller, folks. We're going to be bringing somebody in. Apparently, they have something that they would like to say to Skippy, and we're going to let them have the microphone here for a minute. Skippy, I hope that you're ready.
As soon as the blog talk starts working out properly here,
they will be unmuted.
I'm waiting.
Wow, I got like a wheel of death going on right here. Blog talk quit.
It doesn't matter. He's not going to give me a name. So he can
type
it in.
I gave you a bunch of names.
I agree. You gave me a name. You said FCFF. I agree. I'm asking him. Oh, no. That's right, Sherry. Oh, no. Oh, no. He must go because right now, you know what he can do?
Now go home and get your fucking shine box.
Bam! That's what I got to say to that.
Oh, damn.
Who you think you're messing with? I will, like a cigarette, dude, I will smoke you so fast with my fist and then flip your butt away. Don't even come up on my show trying to get all crazy with me.
Yeah, I can't believe the audacity of that person. The audacity.
Blow me, Skip. Hey, what? Can you hear me? I've been talking for 10 minutes. Oh, hey, actually, in about 4 minutes, folks, we're going to take a little bit longer than normal commercial break. I'm going to play some commercials, some music, and we'll be back. And we're going to have the second hour. We're going to be kicking it.
Somebody just hang up on him?
Yeah, I did not. He hung up because he's upset. Sorry. Hey, what did I have for dinner? Oh, dude, I had Impossible Cheeseburger Pie. It was so good. Hey,
I want to understand this. So do you, like, put in the blender, like, the lettuce and the tomato?
No. You do, like, everything you would, like, barbecue and grill, you know, like the onions and, like, what we do is we grill up the hamburger meat with a bunch of onions and then, you know, season it, throw it in the bottom of a pan, sprinkle a little bit of cheese, and then mix up, like almost like a pie crust out of Bisquick and mix cheese in there and then you pour it all over. You bake it like you would a pie. And then once you're done and you cut a slice, you take shredded lettuce and tomato and pickles and you put it on there. And it's just so good. It's so dang. So, and Jeff,
so,
I did not.
Do you ever do like bacon?
Yes. Oh, yeah. You always put bacon in it. You just, what I like to do is I pre-cook the bacon and I get it like nice and crispy and I chop it all up and I'll throw it right in there with that cheese layer before I put the Bisquick dough on top.
What about jalapenos?
You can put those in there easily, or you can add them on top. And you could do this with, like, blue cheese and mushrooms. We've done that. We've done bacon cheeseburger. I've done, we did one with crispy onion rings in, under the dough with barbecue sauce for, like, a Western burger.
I got
you can,
yeah. Have you ever done a Big Mac?
No.
What about a Big King? Have you ever done it with a McRib?
No. Not at all.
That's probably good. That might be a little dangerous.
Yeah, I mean, you know me, dude. I like to cook. I don't, you know, I like to cook a lot.
Hey,
actually,
if anybody wants to bet me, I got to fight. I want somebody that wants to bet on Derek Harris. I got Nick Braun. Let me know. Anybody wants some action?
What's the odds? What are you paying, man? What's going on, man? Give me some numbers.
I don't know, man.
Would you?
I might look at like maybe four to three.
See, I was close. I was gonna say, would you go like a 325 to a 275? But 4 to 3 is fair.
Yeah, I think that's probably about right. I mean, Derek Harris isn't a walkover, but dude, Nick Braun, I just seen this guy floor too many damn people. And this poor guy, he fucking hammers people.
Hey, and by the way, Miss Sherry, would love to show you my breakfast in bed special sometime. I'm amazing with cooking. Shit, what the hell? We just turned this into the dating game. Dude,
I don't know how I'm down to talk cooking, man. I mean, I'm about to throw down some split pea soup this weekend.
Oh, bro, let's be honest. When I ran my restaurant downtown, both of them, they were called Pigs and Things. It was all pork based because I'm a Jew. Obviously, that goes hand in hand. And I used to do this pulled pork shoulder. I'd do dry rub it with this killer rub I got from a local company that mixed it up. Wrap it all in bacon, float it, literally. I used to get kegs delivered just for this. I would float it in like 2.5 gallons of Mirapon's porter because it's really nutty, heavy earth tones. Slow cook it. I'd start at like 225 for like an hour or two, then drop it down to 185 for like 30 hours. Oh, dude. Shred it. Take it, toss it with some homemade verde salsa, some fresh pico de gallo. Here's the trick. Really sets it off with all the flavors of the pork and the richness of the beer cooking down and the fresh cilantro. You serve it on a hearts of romaine leaf. They're shaped just like a taco shell. But that bitterness on the spine, wow, does it just make those flavors pop in your mouth. Like, dude, it's so – I used to sell 20 pounds of that a day.
See, I might think about adding a little avocado cream.
Well, a lot of people
And a squeeze of lime for sure.
Well,
because the lime, the pico, the cilantro, and then the bitterness from the romaine, that's a killer mix. It's hard to beat.
Well, we served it.
I might even pickle some jalapenos and red onions and throw it on there.
Well, we served it with lime wedges, and the best thing about both the places I ran is I was hooked up with some local produce companies that I knew really well, like personally knew outside of the cooking world, and I got everything because we were only open 5 days a week downtown and 6 days a week at the other location. Everything was delivered fresh. I usually ran out of food about 2:30, 3 o'clock every day, and that was the end of the day. Only you know, only fresh.
Hey, dude. Hey, I hate to cut you off.
Commercials.
But you got to do it. It's that time. We got to do it.
Okay,
right
guys.
Now.
We're going to play some commercials, and I'm going to start out with a song after that, and then we'll be right back. That's what we're going to do. And you know what? Mad love for this sponsor. This guy, he's the shit. I'm going to name my next kid after him. It's going to be a funny name, but he's going to rock.
All on to the jury. Please report to the main gate. We are about to unleash the psycho.
Hey, listen up. If you're in contact sports, the American Dental Association recommends that mouth guards be worn during all heavy contact sports. So do what MMA Meltdown does and contact the best in the biz, Clench Custom Mouth Guards. Clench Custom Mouth Guards fabricates custom mouth guards for all professional and amateur sports, mixed martial arts, boxing, Brazilian jiu-jitsu, basketball, football, lacrosse, hockey, as well as many other sports. These mouth guards are for any sport where any form of contact may occur. Get your custom mouth guard today at GetClinched.com. Again, that's GetClinched.com for all of your mouth guard needs.
To go. That's just what I did, I let you go. Now I can't seem to get you off my phone. Girl, I wish you would leave me alone. But I did not plan to go. Now I can't seem to get you off my phone. Dude, I wish you would leave me alone. Go!
Just space. Just give me just space.
All I need is space.
All I need is space.
Michigan, Love these cats. Met them a couple weeks back at one of our sponsors' events down at Big T's Nightclub. And these guys partied with me all night. The next day, we barbecued alligator. And, dude, shit you not, the lead singer's a vegan. And by the end of the day, he was like, alligator was his favorite thing he had ever eaten. I don't know if we ruined him or made him better, but I'll tell you what, a great band, great band. Anytime you guys can check them out, you guys always go out and check out Downtown Brown. Big shout-out to Tank Crimes for all the love, all the music, Big T's Nightclub as well. Mr. Lapaki, this next hour, we're kicking back with badass fighter, J.C. Kenny, coming in to wreck shop on Madhouse Live tonight. And Sherry, yes to that last question, and I'm still doing it.
I don't like nobody vlogging the dolphin.
She was a little curious, and I had to answer her question.
Dude, Casey Kenny, the master of the 8-second knockout. If you guys haven't seen it, it's on the Madhouse wall right now. Where'd you go, Skippy?
I'm right here.
Dude, so today, Javier Villalpando felt like talking some trash about white belts. I had to call him out and defend all the white belts out there.
That thread got a little...
See, I'm going to throw it down on him. Me and Javier coming up soon, folks.
Oh,
soon.
Shit.
To an event near you.
Oh, wow.
Submission only. This is no points. It's no time limit. Submission only.
No time limit.
The only
limit.
Way to win is by Wait. Submission. So, I mean, it should be like 3 or 4 minutes. I figure I'll have him. What do you think?
I got your back, man. Madhouse Love, dude. I got 20 on you. Jeff, I want to give you $50 to place on a bet for me. But I got 20 on you, brother. You know I got mad love for you. Hey, is he calling in? I forgot to ask.
I think I have his number somewhere.
Oh, okay.
Jeff said it's done, huh? I see how it is. I see how it is. No love. We'll see.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
Dude, yes, young lady. There's a huge difference. Huge difference. One is what you do with your family on a Sunday, and one is a religion. Okay? Let's just get that cleared.
This is true.
Okay. Thank you, sir. You're a gentleman and a scholar. I don't care what Clint says about you.
I don't know, man. I don't understand why he's always picking on me, man.
I think he's jealous of your beauty.
Is it the hype thing? Is that what it's all about? Is that why I'm getting all this hate from Clench lately?
Oh my God, that makes so much sense. You know, because like me, I'm comfortable with being 5'3". Okay, I really am, folks. I don't have a problem with that because I can see up most chicks' skirts, so I'm happy with life. I'll tell you right now, Jeff, you know, he's 5'5", 5'6". He's probably feeling a little inadequate, and he just doesn't like that tall GQS kind of guy flaunting it in his face all the time by saying, hey, how you doing, buddy?
Well, dude, it's funny. When we're walking around at events, dude, people look at me and they go, oh, how's your son? I'm like, oh, he's actually older than me. He's just short. don't let the size confuse you, lady. He's the older of the two.
Oh, man. I just keep thinking it's going to be so funny when Jeff slashes your tires on the ferry and drives off.
That would be funny.
That would be hilarious. Dallas is bitchy. Why do I care? I'm not a big fan of Dallas. I've been there like 800 times, except for sporting events. Dallas, it's an all right city, Chris. I don't care.
Dude, Dallas, the best time to be in Dallas is during the Red River Shootout, bro.
Hell yes.
That's the only time to be in Dallas.
Well, multiple weekends, but yes, during the state fair. Gotta love that. Javier just sent me a message. He said, is it all right if I break his hand? Ooh. I don't mind. He doesn't need to talk on a microphone.
Nah, dude.
Okay.
I mean, dude, I'm not going to tap to a broken hand. You better be bringing more to the table than that.
Yeah, where did Jeff
go?
Is he not going to call back?
I don't know, dude.
Well, either way, how about this? How about let's get our guest in here. Just a couple minutes early.
Jeff's been talking for 15 minutes. Okay, dude, so, hey, dude, check this out. Check this shit out. I think it was Sunday night MMA breakdown this week, like towards the end of the show. Like, we had this weird number that just kept sitting there, and I couldn't figure out who it was. So I finally was just like, whatever. And then Jeff was like, oh, that's Stormy. I'm like, oh, okay. So I, like, pull her off mute, and I'm, like, talking to her, and then there's, like, just dead silence. And then the first thing Stormy says is, I've been talking for a while now. And me and Jeff both just started busting up. And he's like, oh, shit. No, he's like, don't say that shit. He's like, anything but that.
Oh, man.
I was like, you poor bastard.
All right,
maybe it's not, Jeff. Maybe it's not your fault. I am curious, though, does this David Kahn versus BJ San Nicolas fight this weekend? I think that's kind of an interesting fight.
Yeah.
What do you think about Colossa versus Carlos Fodor? I have Fodor right now, but I'm not completely sold on it.
I've been impressed with what I've seen from Fodor's, but he's not progressed like a ton to where you're like, holy shit, this guy's getting so much better. He's gotten better from 3 years ago, but I don't know. I don't know. He can let you down in a fight real quick.
I know, that's what I'm saying, man. That's like, and Colossus, no, like, he's no joke. I think he only has one loss, maybe. The other fight I'm really hung up on at 1FC is Alain Ngolani and then versus Paul Chang. Paul Chang really turned the corner about two fights ago, I think, and he's been going really well. But, dude, Ngolani's like 29-4 or some shit in Muay Thai and kickboxing, and then he's also like 7-0, some shit like that in MMA. I'm just like, damn, man. I mean, Paul could catch him, but I had to go with Ngolani right now.
Oh, hey, yeah, I agree. I was, dude, Carl just posted for the show. Casey Kinney says not only bull riders are done in 8 seconds.
Carl didn't
like
post
that,
you dingling.
Oh, you're on that.
I did.
Never mind. Wow.
Okay, everybody. Hey, I want everyone to write this down. I just, like, not 7 minutes ago said, hey, if anybody hasn't seen the Casey Kinney 8-second knockout, it's up on MMA Madhouse right now. I just did that. 6 minutes later, Skippy's like, wow, man, Carl's posting the Casey Kinney fight.
Oh, man. Hey, look, that break was a little better than it probably needed to be. Let's get Casey in here right now. I'm calling him live on the air. I'm not even messing around. We're going old school gangster down your teeth. Bam! We should be like, MetLife. We really
Hello? You're calling him. Hey, is Casey available?
Hello?
Is this Casey?
Yep.
Hey, man, what's going on? This is Skippy and Lopaki with MMA Madhouse.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, man. What's going on?
Not too much. Just hanging out in my apartment doing, you know, watching a little bit of TV, relaxing.
What are you watching?
No practice tonight?
Huh? No, I skipped out on practice tonight. One of the very few nights that I do that. I had some stuff to do. You know, I'm going to be moving into a new place, so I had to take care of some stuff today. So,
well,
what are you guys up to?
Oh, shit, we're screwing off talking about MMA from around the world.
We've been making fun of a lot of people tonight too. So if you feel like making fun of some people, we're definitely game for that right now.
Right.
We've been talking a lot about your knockout. We talked about how the owner of Clinch Custom Mouthguards is really short, and when we're at events together, people ask how my son is doing.
Hey, I mean, I'm pretty short myself, so, you know, you got to watch those short jokes.
Yeah, hey, see, there's a difference when, you know, like, I'm short as well, but we have something in common. When we walk around, that title makes us look so much bigger. So folks just assume we're 6 foot tall and we're proof.
And, you know, the little people have to stick together.
That's right.
Skippy says that he likes being short because when he walks around he can look right up girls' skirts. Is this true?
I mean, I don't know about being that short, but you know, he definitely got a good eye level for most of the time.
I got to ask you. You know, you get obviously you come from a great group of fighters. You have a great family around you and great company behind you and Luda. You come into this fight fully prepared, trained by world champions. I mean, you know, you've done everything right. Seconds later, you're talking about what burger you want to eat. How crazy of a night is that?
I mean, I guess that would be any MMA fighter's dream fight, but, you know, I was definitely prepared for a war, and, you know, it ended in 8 seconds, and I guess I couldn't be happier. I was like, shit, is it really over? Is that it?
But isn't it a little frustrating, though, too? Because, like, you're getting beat up by some badasses down there for, you know, 8-12 weeks, and then you go in there and you're like, 8 seconds, like, you only got to, like, let out all that aggression that maybe you build up towards your training partners in, like, 8 seconds. You're like, damn, man, I had a few more punches I needed to let go.
Yeah, I know. You know, I definitely wanted to showcase. You know, I've been kicking, you know, I got hair missing on my shin from kicking pad. I didn't even get to show off any of my kicks. You know, it was kind of upsetting. But, you know, I guess it ended, you know, in a good fashion. And, you know, I couldn't be mad about it. But, you know, I would have liked for it to maybe go a little longer. But, you know, it just went down. And it was over.
Hey, you know, Lopaki talked about and your training partners and stuff. And for all the fans out there around the world listening to you tonight, you know, hoping to get to know you better as a fighter and a person, why don't you tell everybody a little bit about yourself? Give us a bio, maybe your record, where you're fighting out of, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, for sure. Right now I got an amateur record of 3-0. You know, I'm fighting out of Rise Combat Sports with head coach Chris Cariasso. He fights in the UFC. His next fight is actually February 1st on the Cruz Barao card. And also Anthony Berchek fights in the MFC, world champion at 135. Those are my two main coaches right now. And then, you know, we also got a lot of studs in the gym as well that are amateurs. And, you know, we work together really well and, you know, have a great fight camp and, you know, working out twice a day. You know, I was hitting two times a day, Monday through Saturday, and, you know, even sometimes hitting a run on Sunday. And, you know, I was fully prepared for everything. And, you know, some of my background, though, you know, I wrestled in high school and a couple years in college at the Division II level. You know, I'm a judo national champion. I started judo at the age of 5. I'm also a second-degree black belt in judo. Let's see. You know, I moved here out to Tucson 2 years ago and looking to train MMA. And I actually had ACL surgery and meniscus surgery. You know, the first month or two I moved out here. And I it took about a year to recover, and I've been training for, it'll be about a year now. And,
wow.
I'm just looking, for future fights, and, just not going to stop right now.
Wow, you got a hell of a pedigree behind you for, honestly being such a young guy. I mean, that's amazing. I mean, what drew you into all those different sports?
My dad wrestled in high school for a few years, and he was always interested in that, and that's how I kind of got started wrestling at the age of 8. And judo actually started at the age of 5, though. One of my friends in preschool was there doing judo, and I stayed the night at his house one night and kind of went and checked it out, and I was like, oh, man, I really wanted to do that. And I went to practice and never looked back at the age of 5. So, I won my first national title at the age of 10. And, I found success right away in judo. And, judo and wrestling went hand in hand with each other. You know, wrestling moves I used in judo that, judo guys weren't expecting. And then I used judo moves in wrestling that the wrestlers weren't expecting. And they worked out really well with each other.
You definitely developed a beautiful, well-rounded game at an early age to be able to go into this kind of a sport for a career. Your striking aspect, when did you start to get a taste of that and really, fall for that part of the game?
Just about a year ago, when I first started training, I was taking, the normal boxing classes, hitting the bag and stuff a little bit, and then, about 5-6 months after training there, Berchek started working with me, with my hands and stuff. And then, I moved over to Rise and, started working on my Muay Thai with Chris. And, I still worked with Anthony with everything and just kind of been trying to put everything together in my striking. I feel like it's been coming together pretty well for the short amount of time that I have been striking. But, other than that, the training that I've had here in Tucson, I've never had any other prior striking training.
So now you're getting to develop and get a taste for that. How much do you like the Muay Thai aspect or the boxing aspect?
I like kicking people and punching people way better than, throwing them around or taking them down. That's definitely way more exciting. And, I don't mind taking them down. And, obviously I'm still a wrestler and a judoka at heart, but, I don't mind punching people in the face. I like that a little bit better.
Dude, so I'm driving home today. I got, about an hour-long commute, and Skippy, sends me this message. Hey, man, judo world championships are on right now. They have four mats going. This guy is, bragging about it to me when he knows I'm, stuck on an interstate, unable to watch.
Straight up, Casey, today was the first day of a 3-day judo Grand Prix over, I believe it's in Tokyo. It's live and free on YouTube. And today was the first time that they had four camera options, one for each mat. So, I'm jumping from, women to men, from, 63 to, 82. I mean, every possible weight class. It was great, man. I was Who doesn't love that? I mean, all day, it's a 3-day tournament, but amazing stuff. If you ever get to watch it, man, it's amazing stuff. The tournament.
I was watching. I follow Travis Stevens, one of the guys fighting over there on Twitter and Facebook and stuff, and he's been posting some of his highlights. I saw a little bit of that, and. Yeah, it's awesome that the coverage that they have for that. I know just like the last Olympics, they had a lot more coverage in judo. It was shitty hours, but they covered quite a bit of stuff online and everything. It was kind of nice to see.
Yeah, they're like, hey, 3:00 in the morning, we got judo going. You're like, thanks.
Exactly.
Yeah, but at 2:00 in the afternoon, they had, you know, table tennis in the water. You know, what is that sport called? Mm-hmm. Water polo.
Well, and some days they have basketball with, you know.
I mean, that's horrible. But, you know, I got to ask you, you know, this long, you know, love with judo, you know, how much do you look at some of the upper, you know, fighters today that come from that same background?
What was the question again?
How much do you look up to or try to follow the careers of guys with a deep judo background like yourself, like maybe somebody like Rick Hahn, you know, and see how they've done? You know, how much do you look at that?
Yeah. You know, it's definitely inspiring for sure. You know, I knew Rick Hahn. Well, I didn't personally know him, but, you know, I knew who he was just in the judo community. And, you know, I was, you know, I saw what he was doing in MMA and, you know, stuff like that. It's kind of what inspired me to, you know, start MMA and try to, you know, build a career out of it. Just knowing that people in judo and then, you know, obviously you've seen all the wrestlers, but, you know, the judo guys are few. And just to see some of them, you know, I want to be one of those few.
Casey, you've had a quick knockout with your fists. Now, let's imagine if you got a knockout off of a judo throw. Which one do you think might be a little more satisfying for you?
You know, that would be nice to get a knockout with a judo throw. My very first amateur fight, I got a knockout with a suplex. So I kind of,
yeah.
You know, I kind of already got that, but it was pretty
that.
Awesome.
Look at this beast, man. He's like, I can suplex you and put you to sleep, or I can just knock you out, fool. You can pick. I'll let you pick.
You know, it's definitely nice to have options.
Is Sambo anything that's ever interested you?
What was that, Sambo?
Yeah.
I've had some interest. I guess I've never really had the option to train Sambo anywhere that I know of. And, you know, I've always been a judo guy at heart, I guess. So, you know, but I'm always open to any type of new stuff. If I ever ran across some Sambo stuff, I'm sure it would go pretty well with my judo.
I think Lepaki nailed it on the head right there. I think that's... Just from talking with you and already learning about your background and you know, your kind of attitude towards the sport, I think that's something you might actually just enjoy learning, let alone it's a tool. But with your background, mm-hmm. the mix that you have, I mean, it's pretty much set up for someone like you.
Yeah. It's a real aggressive, you know, big throws. From what I've seen, you know, some Sambo guys in the, you know, the UFC or... No other pro leagues, you know, they're pretty ferocious with their slams and takedowns.
Yeah, dude, it's awesome to watch the Sambo World Championships. You got, like, the guy in the gi with the MMA gloves on and, you know, like, regular, like, Speedo shorts, and you're just like, what the hell is this guy doing? But
yeah,
it's fun as hell to watch, man.
Oh, yeah, because it's like you got ground and pound, you've got throws, you've got submissions. I mean, what more do you need? I mean, that's a beauty, and it's so fast-paced, and the positioning is so important in how you control your opponent because of the gi involved in it, you know?
Yeah.
I love it. I'm a huge fan of it. But, yeah, I totally think that I would like to see you screw around with that.
Yeah, it's almost like MMA with a gi on, huh?
Yeah, pretty close. Pretty close, but those Russian beasts—they're beasts.
Yeah, I mean that would be—it'd be pretty interesting.
Oh yeah, have you got anything possibly lined up yet as for your next fight?
Yeah, I don't have an opponent's name, but February 22nd for King of the Cage at the Talking Stick Casino in Phoenix, Scottsdale area.
That's right, they're back. I remember seeing
yep.
that the other day. Are you going to be your
own? Are you old enough to get in the casino?
Yeah. I'm 22. Come on, man.
No, I had to do that with Sam, too. Like, I'm taking Sam, one of our guys up here, to some fights this weekend at the casino. And every day I'm like, dude, are you sure you're old enough? Are you sure? He's like, man, I'm 21. I'm like, are you? I'm like, just bring a couple forms of ID. He's like, knock
yeah,
it off.
I mean,
man, knock it off.
I mean, not saying that, you know, I don't definitely have to have an ID. I don't look that age, but, you know, I'm definitely 22, so nothing to worry about.
What style of an opponent would you like to maybe test yourself against this time?
You know, I wouldn't mind fighting a striker, just kind of see where my striking's at and see if it can hold up again. But, you know, I'm probably going to be looking to take him down just to let him know I'm still there. But, you know, but I'm also up for any challenge, really.
Do you sometimes do an early takedown just to let the guy know, like, look, man, I can get you when I want you?
Yeah, I mean, just to let him know, and then, you know, then they're scared of the takedown the rest of the fight. You know, it's good to start off with a nice, easy takedown, even if I want to, you know, I always got the option to let him back up and strike with him.
Have you ever done anything like that? Like taking a guy down and let him right back up, or?
Not really. I guess I have in sparring and stuff. You know, I've taken him down and kind of let him up and just, you know, worked on my striking, but, you know, established the takedown early. But I've never really had the option. I guess in my first fight, the guy, we went down to the ground. It was kind of a weird, awkward takedown. But I didn't let him up, but he rolled it, did like a backwards roll up when I was doing some crazy ground and pound. But other than that, you know, most of my fights, my second fight, you know, the guy tried to take me down and, you know, I stuffed him and ended up on top and was on top of him the rest of the fight. So I guess I haven't really had the up and down fight, you know.
Were you like, what the hell are you trying to do, pal?
Yeah, it kind of surprised me, but, you know, I was ready for it. He actually got me up in the air on a double leg, and then I just busted my hips out when we hit the ground. But it was kind of shocking. But didn't expect
it. Were you like, what the hell?
Yeah, I thought I'd be the one trying to take him down. At the time, I didn't have any MMA training. You know, I just was throwing haymakers.
At what point of your wrestling or judo training did you say, you know, MMA is the ultimate goal?
I don't know. You know, when I kind of started seeing the UFC explode and, you know, become popular, I was like, you know, that doesn't sound too bad. And, you know, I was watching some of the wrestlers succeed and, you know, my very first fight was random. I was hanging out with some buddies, and I was about to go to college to wrestle. And they're like, why don't you just fight in this fight coming up? We had a fight organization coming to our, you know, small town. And I was like, well, I don't know. You know, I'm going to college. It's probably not a good idea to, you know, be in this cage fighting stuff. And they're like, you know, quit being a pussy. You know, you're supposed to be some badass. You know, you're a judo guy and a wrestler. Why don't you just fight? So I was like, all right, you know what, screw it. I called the kid up that I knew from wrestling. His dad was putting on the show. I was like, hey, man, can you give me a fight? And it was like 4 or 5 days out, and he texted me about an hour later and was like, hey, I got you a fight. Just coming way in this time. And I was like, all right, cool. And then after the fight, I was in love, you know, the sport. I was like, this is definitely something I want to do.
Did you have a big weight cut for that first fight, or did you just tell him I'm at 140 and you fight a guy at 140?
I had to, you know, I had to watch like what I ate that day for a couple pounds. We had to weigh in like 140.
What do you normally watch?
I was only hanging around like 145 at the time.
Now, I'm curious, you know, you're still a young guy, you know, you spent a lot of time obviously developing your skills to, you know, to go down this path. Away from training, what are you doing for fun? You know, what are you doing on a Friday night if you have it off and you're not moving?
You know, I go out and have fun. I went up to Pine Top, Arizona with Burchek for Thanksgiving, him and his family, and, you know, we did some horseback riding, some sledding, you know, just hung out and relaxed, had a few beers, and, you know, I guess I like to do normal kid stuff. You know, I get down on some Call of Duty on PlayStation, and I like to go out to the bar and the clubs every now and then. You know, I hang out with my girlfriend. Just, I guess, normal 22-year-old stuff.
What is
okay,
your girl?
Okay. Hold on. Wait a minute. Now that I know that you was at Pine Top, were you part of the shit scavenger hunt?
I was not. Wait. Are you talking about the big piles of poo that Burchek was posting?
Yeah.
Okay. We were definitely trekking through the meadow.
What are you talking about, though, is the question. Was there a different kind of shit scavenger hunt or something?
No, I didn't know if there was some special event that went on up there that I wasn't aware of, but
no.
Now I know what you're talking about. But yeah, I was definitely involved in that.
Yeah, I thought it was funny. He's like, elk poop with a big fucking cow patty there.
Yeah, actually, I got kicked in the shin by a horse when we were horseback riding.
Nice.
Also, yeah.
Did you take it like a Muay Thai master?
You know, I tried to check it, but it came pretty fast, so, you know, I kind of just took it.
Did you stay standing?
Huh?
Did you stay standing, or did the horse get knocked?
I was on my horse. I was on a horse. And the horse in front of me went to kick my horse, and when he did, he kicked me right in the shin. My horse kind of took off and then followed back in line.
Hold on. Did you upset this other horse, or did your horse upset this other horse so that the horse wanted to kick you guys?
My horse was upsetting the horse in front of it. I mean, he wouldn't get his head out of that horse's ass. I mean, I don't really blame him, but he shouldn't have kicked me.
Your horse just had some good defense. He was like, well, sidestep that. He's all Neo from the Matrix. That's why.
Yeah, exactly. I was, you know, I wanted to get off my horse and give that other horse a leg kick, but I figured it probably wouldn't end up well for me.
Dude, so how has the winter been treating you so far?
Oh, it's not bad. I mean, you know, winter in Tucson is nothing compared to a winter back in Indiana, that's for sure. So, you know, I still have T-shirt on and jeans right now. December's not bad. I mean, it's getting a little chilly at night, but, you know, I guess it's...
Do you ever miss that cold? Do you ever miss the cold?
You know, not really. Every now and then I miss the snow, but, you know, like... I went up to Pine Top and got that out of the way. So I'm good on cold and snow for a little while for now. But, I mean, definitely don't miss going out in 10, 15-degree weather and scraping the windshields before you have to go anywhere and getting stuck in the snow in the vehicles. And just, it's not good.
Hey.
Yeah, I do not miss that either.
Right, like you guys are all talking about it. I'm sitting here living it. Sucks.
It's like it's like 18 degrees where Skippy's at right now.
No. Right now, it's probably closer to like 8 or 9. We're supposed to hit -3 again tonight, but today's high was only like 20, and tomorrow's high is 18. So,
yeah. That's just too cold. I don't really want to deal with that type of cold anymore.
Yeah, I agree, bro. I agree. So now, when will you start the full fight camp for the February fight? Will you wait till after? Will you enjoy the holidays and, you know, just kind of monitor your diet and stuff like that, but still get your workouts in? Or will you really, like, start grinding here pretty quick?
You know, I'm still going to be training. You know, I'm going to be helping my coach Chris get ready for his fight February 1st. but I'll probably start my actual camp either anywhere from 6 to 8 weeks out. But, you know, I'll still be training the whole time through the holidays, and I'll probably go ahead and enjoy the good Christmas food. But, you know, after that, I'll probably be looking to get serious in the camp and start watching my weight and everything.
Hey, by the way, Lepaki, that's from Mercedes.
Yeah, I know.
What was that?
I was mad at her for posting that weird-looking vagina cake, and now I've got you sending it to me in a message. Like, you're some kind of shit cake. Like, she has a reason to hate that picture, Skippy. I don't know why you're sending me a picture or some shit like that.
This is hilarious. Casey, I do want to ask you, you know, you mentioned having a girlfriend. Does her family know what you do?
Yeah.
Are they
cool definitely.
With
my dad's easier. Does that make talking to her dad easier or a little bit more edgy, knowing that you could probably kick his ass?
I'm definitely not looking to do that, but, you know, I don't know, I guess. I'm not too scared of any men, but, you know, we'll see how that goes, I guess.
Has he watched you fight yet?
I don't think so. So, we'll see. We'll see what happens maybe after he watches me, but who knows.
You should send him a tape of your 8-second knockout. The next time you go over to the house, he's like, yeah, here's $50. Take her out for the whole night. Have fun, son.
Forget about that curfew.
Forget about that curfew.
Yeah, who knows? That may work. We'll see. I'll definitely have it ready just in case. Be like, hey, look, before you try to beat me up, you know, just watch this tape. They think twice.
Oh, man. We've got to talk a little bit about, you know, the fight life, a little bit about, you know, your personal life. You as a fan of the sport of MMA, do you get much time to, like, enjoy watching any event?
Like, watching the MMA fights online and stuff? Or,
yeah,
like, UFC cards and everything?
Yeah, anything like that.
I mean, I normally watch the UFC cards, the Bellator cards, and try to catch, you know, Legacy every now and then, some of the pro fights. You know, I definitely enjoy watching fighting. You know, on my Netflix, I got all the fight documentaries, you know, lined up that I normally go through and watch. You know, I like watching fighting, too.
No.
I obviously watch the normal, you know, normal comedies, action films, and some scary movies, but, you know, I'd watch fighting all day long if I could.
As a fan of the sport and as well as being a fighter, do you find yourself armchair quarterbacking during a fight?
Repeat that question again.
Look, when you're watching a fight, do you find yourself kind of like, you know, sitting back on, oh, he should do this, or hey, he needs to move here, or thinking that kind of thought?
Yeah, definitely. Even before I started fighting, you know, when I was watching the earlier UFCs and stuff, I would, you know, go critique the fighters and their grappling just, you know, from what I knew from grappling. It was like, oh, man, he should have done this instead of this. And now that, you know, I've been training MMA, I can, you know, because you can always see what's going on from the outside better than what's going when it's actually happening inside the cage. And you can be like, oh, man, he should have done this instead of that. But it's a learning experience, too. You know, you just watch how, you know, people handle southpaws, or, you know, how the orthodox guys, you know, handle the southpaw, or, you know, just different techniques or different styles. You know, you pick up a lot on, you know, stuff you can bring to the gym.
You know, when you're, you know, like us, just sitting back watching these events, and you get, like you pointed out, Legacy, obviously coming up this weekend, big shout out, Billy Boo, good luck down there. When you watch these events, and obviously a lot of fighters today, a good portion, believe the UFC is the ultimate goal, but when you're watching something like Legacy, do you look at yourself or MFC when you watch, you know, Anthony perform? You know, do you look and say, man, I just want to get there for now. That's my next goal, Legacy or MFC or XFC or, you know, are you mindset like that or are you strictly, I got to go UFC?
I mean, I know that, you know, you just can't jump right into the UFC, you know. I obviously understand that, you know, I'm probably going to have to go through, you know, other organizations and, you know, I'm definitely not in it, you know, for the money or anything like that. I love the sport and I love fighting, you know, so wherever it takes me, you know, if it takes me to the Bellator, to UFC, to the MFC, to Legacy, you know, we'll see what happens, but... You know, I mean, I guess obviously the ultimate goal is, you know, to get that UFC belt, you know, the top organization in the world right now. You know, I mean, there's a lot of other ones that are right up behind it that I wouldn't mind fighting for at all. But, you know, I guess that's the ultimate goal.
Sweet.
So, I mean, obviously it's a far-fetched goal, but, you know, everyone's got to have dreams.
It's really not far-fetched. It's just... I like that you understand the fact that, you know, somebody like Legacy or MFC or an XFC, you know, is a place you're going to have to cut your teeth on. And, I mean, let's be honest, Anthony went to an amazing organization that we have a lot of love and respect for. And he's standing there now with 18 pounds of gold around his waist, and he is king of the mountain. I mean, you know, there's no two ways about it. He is the champion. He is, you know, what so many guys – will never make to, but want to at least get there. So, you know, hey, look, whether he's there for his whole career or he's there for seven fights or 17 fights, you know, he is a champion in a major organization that's internationally known around the world. I mean, that's a lot to say. I mean, he is ranked in, you know, the top mix of fighters in his weight class around the world. I mean, for me, I don't have a problem seeing guys, you know, go and build themselves a, you know, a whole legacy somewhere. And then, you know, if the next step comes, the next step comes. But, you know, I think it's a beautiful thing to see you guys go and make a name and a home for some time in an organization like that. I think it's important for your sport.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I mean, it wouldn't be bad fighting overseas and in some of those organizations either. You know, that'd be, I like to travel. So, you know, If it sends me overseas, that's, you know, that's awesome.
Oh, dude, you're right. You get paid to do what you love and go to, like, you know, Minsk or go to, you know, Romania or
South Africa. I'm telling you, dude, if I was a fighter, I would be, like, busting my ass to get to fight at EFC Africa because, dude, every time I fight, I would be in South Africa. Beautiful women, flying sharks, great scenery. You could probably go see some lions if you want. You know, I mean, shit.
Yeah, I mean, South Africa doesn't sound too bad. I don't know about Northern Africa. I probably wouldn't fit in too well. But.
Oh, no, dude. Honestly, Northern Africa's got a growing MMA scene, but you would probably truthfully want to go more to the Middle East and to perform on one of those events that are a bigger stage, better pay, like Cage Warrior Combat. Cage Warrior Championship. You know, they got an event this weekend. I know. I screwed that one up. That's dropping the ball. But I believe it's this weekend in Amman, Jordan. But, you know, they do the Abu Dhabi Fight League, the Abu Dhabi Warrior Fight League. That's another great venue over there in the Middle East, North Africa scene. Dude, definitely plenty of places in Europe and Russia. Shit, Oplot, buddy. Dude, you're an amateur. I know they've flown amateurs from the States before. You might have to be like, you know,
dude, and that guy would be awesome. I would like to really hear that guy announce Casey Kennedy in Russian fucking accent. That shit would be rad.
That wouldn't be bad at all.
His broken ass Russian English that he uses.
Come in from America, Casey Kennedy. Oh yeah, dude, I can so see that Russian getting off, dude. That would be sick, dude. And, hey, here's the crazy thing about their cage. Their cage doors go up. Dude, they don't go, they don't swing. Cage doors go straight up in the air. It's cool.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. And it's straight up in a nightclub, two-story nightclub, and it's just packed with people at tables drinking, like, mass amounts of alcohol, partying. And it's fully televised. It's an amazing event. And I guarantee you, Anthony would be like, I'm cornering you. I got to go. You know what I mean? It's just
sounds like something I want to be a part of.
Yeah, dude, really, Oakwood is, they have brought in U.S. amateurs there before. Amazing league. They fight amateurs every week on television. It's,
mm-hmm.
it's really
crazy. Every Wednesday, I have to hear about it while I'm sitting at work. This is the kind of shit Skippy does to me, bro.
Oh, yeah. Hey, man, I'm like, he's like, what are you doing? Like, I'm at work. No, I'm at work. What are you doing? Oakwood amateur day.
I'm a huge Oakwood. Look, either Wednesday or Thursday's amateur and Friday and Saturday are pro day. And they do an event every week, and it's just a blast. Man, first of all, the fights are legit. They're good fights. It's quality fights, for real, folks. But the whole atmosphere, the Russian announcer trying to do English. And here's the great thing is every time you win, they play this, like, 80s championship. Like, we are the champions. And, like, you know, matter. You can walk out to Tupac or Willie Nelson. They don't care. But every single time you win, they play this, like, 80s, 70s, like, crazy music. And, like, you're paraded around. And it's just a great atmosphere. It's so much fun to watch.
Yeah, who knows? Maybe after my February 22nd fight, we'll be looking to do something like that. It doesn't sound too bad at all.
Oh, no, dude. It's a trip to Russia, man. And we know a ton of fighters who fight in Russia. And they love the experience. Every one of them has said it's been the best experience.
Yeah,
they love you.
I definitely wouldn't mind fighting overseas, especially Russia.
They love
the motherland,
there's some tough dudes over there.
Yeah, you train some sambo while you're there.
Yeah, sounds good.
Like, well,
if you drink some vodka while you're there.
Yeah.
Drink some vodka. Nah, I don't do vodka. Vodka's no good.
Clear fear. Fear's clear.
Well, you know,
I would say you could check out the Russian hookers, but you've got a girlfriend, so that's kind of out the window.
Yeah, that probably wouldn't be a good idea. Plus, you know,
God,
I wouldn't want to get something that would ruin my fighting career, you know. It would be bad.
Wait, dude. Hey, it hasn't stopped Emelianenko's brother. What's Alex? Sniffy's like, God damn, why you always got to bring that up? I love it. Hey, man, before we have to wrap up the show, why don't you give a shout-out to all your sponsors? We'll make sure everybody knows how to find you on social media, and then we'll get back to chatting.
All right, sounds good. A shout-out to Revolver MMA, Primal Fight Gear, also Soapalicious, and then a big shout-out to Luda Elite MMA, and also Chris Carriasso and Anthony Burchek at Rise Combat Sports. And you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at CKMMA125. Also, check out my Facebook fan page, Casey Kenny. And I think that's about it.
Now, who at practice do you like punching in the face the most?
Definitely Burchek.
Who do you dislike getting punched in the face by the most?
Probably one of our amateurs, Nate Tierney, which he's a 170 pounder. So,
God,
he doesn't feel too good. I mean, we still do some, you know, sparring. No, I don't mind getting in there with bigger guys.
Nah, how much does that help out when it comes down to fight night?
I mean, it helps out a ton, you know, if I can hang in there grappling with the bigger guys. You know, especially someone like Nate, you know, who's super strong, you know, it definitely makes a guy that's my size a lot easier.
I like it. Now, grappling, who's your favorite guy to grapple?
Let's see. I don't know. I might have to go with Burchek again just because, you know, we're both wrestlers and we go at it when, you know, that's I think we have more pride in when we just do straight wrestling takedowns than when we're actually, you know, doing the MMA. just because, you know, we're both wrestlers since we've been young, and, you know, whoever gets to take them, it's a big deal.
Now, you guys down there have a secret weapon, and we'll just refer to this person as the laser.
Mm-hmm.
How nice is he to have as part of the team, and how much does that alleviate, like, a lot of pressure off of things that you may need to figure out, you know, having his assistance?
I mean, he's awesome. I mean, that's it. He's awesome. Laser Lenny is fucking just great. You know, I don't have to worry about, you know, what I'm going to eat or anything. I'm just asking him, like, hey, what should I eat, you know, before my fight, you know, my lunchtime. We sit down to eat, and I don't even have to, you know, figure out what I need to eat. He's all over it, and, you know, strength and conditioning. You know, I just he's a phone call away if I need any help with anything. You know, he's also an awesome training partner. He's lightning fast and strong and, you know, very technical, so it's nice to have him around, that's for sure.
Now he also has a full-time job away, so, I mean, he really is, you know, you guys are all, are you working too?
I do some tile work part-time, but, you know, for most of the time I'm just training. I also work the front desk at the gym a few days a week.
How do you like that? Do the guys kind of give you a hard time with the male reception?
Not really. But, you know, it's just like, I guess being there, I'm there all the time anyways, so.
Yeah, so, you know, I mean, dude, you're able to turn, you know, your passion into employment. So, you know, I mean, what better way to spend the day than that?
Yeah, exactly. You know, I love to be there, you know, whether I'm training or, you know, just watching stuff go on.
Who are your favorite guys to watch spar?
I like watching Chris Spar, you know. He's a southpaw like me, and you know, I can pick up a lot from watching him. And, you know, I like to watch everybody go at it. You know, it's always fun to watch other people go at it and kind of take the edge off you for a little while.
Who's one guy you wouldn't want to be across the cage from? In your camp. If you were like, if I said, look, you're going to have to fight one of these guys, but you can pick one dude to have it not be, which guy would you say?
Let's see. That's a tough one. I'd probably have to go with the Nate Kearney, just because he hits like a mad truck and he's a nasty BJJ guy. And, you know, I can get some takedowns every now and then, but... you know, he's tough as nails and he hits hard, so I'd probably have to say him.
How nice is it getting a takedown on a guy that's probably walking around at 190, 195?
It's not bad, you know. It definitely gives me a sense of confidence, but, you know, it's definitely a confidence booster.
What was the highest weight you wrestled at?
Would be probably, well, for an actual school, would be 133 in college, but in college I was walking around about 155, 160.
Holy cow.
I was a little bit bigger. I was a little chunkier, too.
Did losing some of that mass maybe help you in the cage?
Definitely as far as, you know, being able to make, you know, 125s, I definitely couldn't have made 25s, you know, that being that big, and I think it's kind of helped my speed a little bit. You know, slimming down and, you know, just kind of leaning everything out instead of being a stockier kid, you know, more of a, you know, skinnier, leaner kid now.
Casey, dude, I'm very glad all the fans are for you to come on here and kick back and let us all get to know you a little better. We're all going to pay attention and follow you. And obviously, you know, we still, the team you're with and the coaches you have and the group around you and your talent that you have. And, you know, sky's the limit for you, brother.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I'm not going to stop now, and, you know, see where it takes me, but exactly, the sky's the limit. And, you know, it was awesome talking to you guys. Thanks for having me. You know, I'll be available to come on anytime, so just let me know.
Oh, dude, we'll definitely have you back on again. When it gets closer to fight night, yeah, we'll definitely have you back on. Talk about your camp.
All right.
See how bad Anthony is.
And we also submitted your KO to the Dirty Dozen, so pay attention for that.
Okay,
yeah.
Awesome. Thank you, guys.
If you win, you win free gear. So.
Well, that doesn't sound too bad for right now. You know, hopefully it comes in before I have to get into fight camp.
Yeah, and Cyrus and Casey are some cool guys over at MMA Inside the Cage, and they have a weekly show where they recap, like, the top 10 or 12 finishes of the week. It's pretty sweet.
Mm-hmm. Sounds great.
Well, hey, enjoy the rest of your night, brother. Hope you didn't take away too much from your moving. Tell the family we said what's up, and we'll talk to you real soon.
All right, sounds good, guys. Have a good night, too.
Later, brother.
Thanks, Casey.
Later.
You guys, make sure you guys follow him at CKMMA125. Get out there and make sure you guys are following this guy. He is the future of the sport. You want to know about it now. You don't want to be left out and be talking about, oh, man, I should have listened and followed that kid back in the day. Napaki, a few minutes left in tonight's show. It's been ridiculously badass. Super, super excited. Folks, I want to tell you guys, what are you fucking laughing about?
Oh, you'll find out, my friend. You'll find out.
You're fucked up. I'm not even going to play that. I don't even want to play that. No, I'm not even going to look at that. Dude, like, that's just wrong on too many levels, you weirdo. I think, to be fair and honest with our fans out there, that we're going to go one step beyond. If you guys are smart enough, every week we throw up one of the links to the show and we put in a ton of people talking in that thread. Well, here you guys go, because I'm not watching it. There's a link. You guys can watch it.
He just shared it with the group.
Yes, I did.
That's dangerous.
Dude, yeah. I want to give a real quick shout-out to all our great sponsors who step up every week for us and fighters around the world. And, hey, for real, man, Draco Impact Sports, folks. I know I say it. Guys, get out there. Whether it's grappling, kickboxing, boxing, judo, wrestling, MMA, they got you covered. Draco Impact Sports, Jax Media, Hype Fight Store, Intimidation Clothing, Vision Smoke Shop, 888 Poker, Big T's Nightclub, Brawl Base, Pro-Am Belch, Crossroad of Clothing, Take Crimes, Triumph Fitness, my favorite, and I got a brand new one coming this week, Central Oregon Trike. I'm super pumped to have a new one. Game Changer Clothing, Ink Pink Tattoo, Clock Tower Pole.
What do you mean? How are you getting a new one?
Clinch Custom Mouth Guard. Well, dude, Derek needed a new van. And, dude, I was like, dude, here, you can have my van. I've got an extra ride. It's not a problem. Just take it. You can, you know, get it registered, tagged, and all that shit. And he's like, well, I want to thank you, so I'm going to give you a trike. I was like, okay. So I now have three trikes. And I'm pumped because I'm getting one with the air wheels, the big 6-inch air wheels. I'm going to start cruising that shit everywhere. Hey, by the way, folks, thank you for listening. We're about to go into overtime. I guarantee you it's not going to be very much because I've got things to do and people to be, and I'm out. So, Napaki, I'm going to play a little dirty Downtown Brown. So, I'm out. Eagle.
All right, man. Osprey. Later, everybody. Thank you, Eagle.
You wanted to go. That's just what I did. I let you go.
wish you would leave me